sooner. Adam and Eve. Father was God, okay? The very first parent, God. He had two kids, Adam and Eve. And I've got a little script I'd like to do here. This is going to be an impromptu script. I've got different characters. God, a narrator, Eve, and Adam. Need volunteers. It's real easy. Short, easy. Come on. Come on. Otherwise, I'm going to have to call you out. You can. There we go, Sherry. You want Eve, narrator? Which one you want? Eve? You got it. Oh, yeah. All right, Gary's going to help us out. Gary, you got a God voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. All right, I need an Adam and a narrator. Hello? Narrator, there we go. Steve Peterson, thanks for volunteering for Adam. I knew your hand wasn't up, but everything in you was saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. So.
I think my wife was saying, pick him.
Okay. All right, take a look at your script so you can kind of see. You've got the whole thing on there, all right? Come here a little closer together. Adam, you should be next to Eve. Narrator, I'm going to put you on the other side of God. There we go. Give a hand for our volunteers. All right, just nice and loud. Go. Wait. Who's at the top?
Oh.
It's a script.
Oh, everybody's on here.
Okay, when we read paragraphs, we start at the top. Here we go. Action.
Don't what?
So if you're ever wondering how that all started, apparently that's the way it went. You know what? You can't be in church long without hearing the proverb. It's Proverb 22:6. It says, in fact, you can probably say it with me. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he shall not depart from it. Okay? We hear this over and over again. Now, this is why we hear it. Okay? We hear it because as parents, we need some level of encouragement, okay? That, look, if you do the right thing with your kids, they're going to turn out okay. So we say this to each other. Sometimes as a church leadership, we say it to you because we want to encourage you to bring your kids to be a part of Sunday school and other things as a part of that training process, how important that is. But for whatever reason, we come up with reasons to say it. It's something that we say. And we say often, we see this verse as a promise. A promise that if we do the right things, our kids are going to turn out okay. But here's the problem. How many times does a parent do the right things and the kids don't turn out okay? That is a tough spot to be in. From the outside, everyone can be judgmental to you as a parent because somehow you failed along the way. Because the promise didn't come true for you, so you must not have trained them upright. As the parent who knew they did everything they possibly could, they sit on the other side of this promise wondering, why isn't it true for me? What did I do wrong? What does God think about me? Why have I been given this? These are tough situations that are real situations that people go through on a regular day-to-day basis. How about this? If this is a promise, train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. How many times can you mess that up? How many times can you not train him the way he should go, and the promise is null and void? Who here are parents here today? Okay, parents, how many times can you mess up on raising your children before you are no longer training them in the way they should go? How many times? That could be. Look, I'm in my 40s. I'm not in my 40s. I'm 40. Okay? I have one teenager who's 14. I've got another girl. She's 12. She's real close to being a teenager and is already, I mean, she's embodying teenagerness, if you know what I mean. I have a son who's 7 who's watching these two older ones, so he's 7 going on 13. When I was a youth pastor, in my early 20s especially, I was amazed how many times parents came to me, and I was amazed how many times parents didn't come to me, because I knew everything about teenagers. I knew how to handle them, I knew what discipline worked, I knew how to interact with them, and I just thought, my goodness, how come parents can't get this stuff figured out? Now that I have the beginning of teenagers, I am clueless. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know where all that knowledge went. So I'm going to be beating down Adam's door. He has no kids. Maybe he's got some advice for me. Because when I was his age, I knew everything about raising children. Not so much anymore. Raising kids is not easy. Training them is not easy. How long before that promise is no longer a promise for you? How many times can you mess up before no longer can you be on the mark of training them well? I mean, obviously you can't do terrible your whole life and then have one positive conversation. But when do you kind of blow it? What is training them well? Who's to do the training? It says train them in the way. What way? There's some of the questions we have when we look at a verse like this. We're so easy to take it at face value that, hey, as long as I do well with my kids, they're going to turn out okay. When we start to look at this verse and start to break it down and start to ask questions, we start to get nervous. And I think there's a lot of people that say, hey, let's just not break down this verse. I'm just good with what I think it says. Do your best, and don't worry about the rest. But as we look at life, life doesn't treat us that way, especially when it comes to our families. As we close out this Modern Family series today, we're going to start by looking at a clip of Jay and Gloria. Now, Jay is a middle-aged guy. He's already raised a family of his own. They have kids. In fact, they're the other members in the sitcom. But he is he's on, obviously, his second or third marriage, for all I know. And he's married this much younger woman. She's a Colombian woman, and she is beautiful. She comes into this relationship with a son of her own. And Jay and this son named Manny have a hard time connecting. I think for a couple reasons. I think Jay has already raised kids. I don't think he's looking to do it all over again. But yet he's kind of stuck in this because he's got this beautiful wife he wants to keep. And so Manny comes along for the ride. But Manny also has a hard time connecting with Jay because Manny's father, Javier, is still alive. Now, Javier is a bum. He gambles, he drinks, he doesn't pay any attention to Manny. But as a kid in his elementary school years, he thinks his dad's on his pedestal. And it annoys Jay, but that's where Manny's at. And so this conflict starts to raise. So we're going to see how Jay, Gloria, and Manny interact as we talk about how we raise our kids. Take a look at this clip.
What's the key to being a great dad? Oh, that's a tough one. Well, be their buddy.
That's your answer?
And stay in school.
No.
And don't do drugs.
No.
Just give me the answer.
Oh, God.
Still think.
Manny's father is taking him for a couple of days to Disneyland, so we're going to go to the wine country.
We're going to drink some wine, eat some good food. You know, we would do something like this a lot more often if it wasn't for, you know, Manny.
Is good. He keep us ground.
Yeah. Like fog at an airport. Limo gets here at 4. This morning I thought I'd go over to the club, hit a few balls.
No! What about the fan in Manny's room?
Oh, yeah. Call a guy.
No! You're supposed to do it with him. It's important that we teach him how to do things for himself. My culture meant a great pride in doing physical labor.
I know.
That's why I hire people from your culture.
You're too funny. I'm going to share that one with my next husband when we're spending all your money.
So let's do this.
Okay, but I need to be done by 3. That's when my dad's picking me up.
Hey, if we're not done by 3, I'm going to tie a noose on this thing.
In Colombia, there's a saying. If you have 2 stubborn burros that don't like each other, you tie them to the same cart. The ceiling fan is the cart.
My dad's taking me on Space Mountain. It's supposed to be really fast, but he's not scared of anything. He doesn't even wear a seatbelt when he drives.
Wow, how about that?
Killed a bear once.
Really? Is the bear sitting in the passenger seat? Read me the instructions.
Safety tips. Warning. To reduce the risk of electrical shock...
We can skip that.
Failure to heed these warnings can lead to serious injury or death.
Yeah, you worry too much. You know that. Nobody's going to get shocked.
One time my dad was struck by lightning. That's why he can drink as much as he wants.
Manny thinks his dad is like Superman. Truth, he's a total flake. In fact, the only way he's like Superman is that they both landed in this country illegally. Ah, son of a... You gave me the wrong screwdriver.
Maybe you're just using it wrong. My dad's great with tools. He can get the wheels off the car in less than a minute.
Just get me the wine, Connor. Just get me the wine. Sorry.
I think my arm is broken.
Relax. It's not broken.
How do you know? You don't know anything. You have no concern for safety.
Because it didn't hit you that hard.
Why don't you just say it? You don't want me around.
You know what? Right now, I don't.
I don't want to be with you either. I'm going to go wait for my dad.
Oh, but if you leave, how will I ever finish?
You know what? I wish you never married my mom. I hate living here.
You think I like this arrangement? I got a 2-seater parked in the driveway.
Ouch. Reminds me of Pastor Brian's message last week when he had the tube of toothpaste. And he squeezed the toothpaste and he said, once it goes out, it can never go back in. Once those words leave us, you may want to take them back, but you can't. And I tell you what, when I think of my role as a parent, I am appalled by the amount of times I have failed. They've got to outnumber any of my successes. And so I fear for my kids, especially as I look at a verse like this, train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. How am I doing? How are you doing? This isn't just for you parents who have kids in the home. This is grandparents for your grandkids, uncles and aunts for your nephews and nieces, your family, friends, kids in the neighborhood, kids at the school. We all have this responsibility together. And how are we doing with this? Maybe some of you that are considerably younger today need to start thinking about the children you just might have in the future. Start learning those ways now. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and open your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Well, you'll find the verse we've been talking about. If you're using the Memorial Bibles, it'll be on page 496. But we're going to break down this verse a little bit here. This verse says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Now, this is out of the New Living Translation. The translation may be different from a translation that you knew or have learned or have heard teachings on this before. Certainly different than the one we were able to just quote prior in the service. But I want you to know that the difference in translations and why it sounds so different from Bible to Bible, from what you have in front of you maybe, versus what's on the screen, is part of the challenge when it comes to translating Scripture in a way that we can understand what the original text meant. Now, the Bible was written thousands of years ago, and you do not have to be a biblical scholar. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to be proficient in Greek or Hebrew or any other language in order to be able to study the Bible. So I want to give you a couple quick tips here this morning that will help you when you're looking at a verse and you're saying, okay, I need to understand what is in this verse, all right? The first thing that you need to do is you need to look at multiple English translations. If you go over to Crossroads or go online to a bookstore, you're going to find that there are Bibles called parallel Bibles. What a parallel Bible is it's multiple translations, anywhere from 2 to 8, depending on how many parallels are in the particular one. And what they do is you open it up, and there'll be 8 columns or 4 columns, however many translations. And as it goes down, the verses are side by side. And so you can see what it says in the NIV, the NLT, the King James, whatever parallels you're purchasing. The great thing about that is you can start to see some of the differences in each English translation. And as you look at those differences, you start to hone in that there might be some differences in the text that you need to understand. You see, translating isn't as simple as you might think. When we translate from, let's say, the New Testament, which is mostly written in Greek, or the Old Testament, mostly written in Hebrew, into English, there are words that are not apples for apples. And so you have to start to understand the depth of the word in the original language to translate it properly in English. For example, in English, we have one word for love. But in Greek, there are three words for love. And each word love means something different. There's a Greek word for love that's a love between friends, another one that's more of a romantic love, and there's another love that is more of an unconditional love, a kind of love that God gives us. Three different loves, but when we translate the word love in Greek into love in English, we're going to lose the translation because we're not sure what kind of love it means. So we have to expand a little bit. That's why when you look at different English translations, you'll start to see those differences pop up throughout those translations to give yourself a fuller meaning. So, again, you don't need to be a biblical scholar to do biblical study. Just use some of the tools that we already have available. So let me give you a couple examples. You might hear a phrase like this, pretty common language today. Don't be a big goofball. If you translate that word for word, it could come out like this. Don't be a gigantic cartoon dog sphere. Don't be a gigantic, that'd be Goofy the cartoon character. He's a dog, and he's apparently round. Now, if someone did that, you'd say, no, that's not what I meant. I just meant, don't be so silly. Oh, no, you wrote, don't be a gigantic cartoon dog sphere. Okay, well, I meant just don't be silly, and now you're being silly. This one I love. Pastor Brian showed this one to us a couple years ago. This is KFC's slogan. And when KFC went to China and they translated it into Chinese, this is what the customers saw. And once they found that out, they quickly changed. But they just translated it, you know. Finger licking good. And when you break that down in Chinese, somehow it came as eat your fingers off. Which may mean the chicken's even that much better, but it just was not quite the message they were trying to get across. So translation has some of these difficulties. So let's go ahead and take a look at this verse again. This is the verse, yeah, there it is. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. This is New Living Translation. Let's look at it in multiple translations, and that's what this next slide is. So I have the New Revised Standard Version, Amplified Bible, Message, Darby, and New Century Version. I just picked some translations that I thought had some good differences, but your NIV or King James or New King James will all have some of these differences as well. So it says here, train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. Or amplified, train up a child in the way he should go. Then there's these brackets. And in keeping with his individual gift or bent, not in any of the other translations, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. In the Message, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. In Darby, train up the child according to the tenor of his way. All of a sudden, you see that one, it looks a little bit like the Amplified one, keeping with his individual gift or bent, according to the tenor of his way. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. New Century Version, train children how to live right, and when they're old, they will not change. Every one of those is telling us something a little bit different. But I want you to know they're all honing in on a very similar idea, and it's wrapped around what these words in Greek mean, or in Hebrew that we're translating here. So we're going to have to do a little bit deeper work. Now, how do you dig deeper into these words to find the meaning if you're not proficient in Hebrew? Well, there's lots of helps for that too. There's books that can help you find where this word exists throughout Scripture. So you can kind of track it throughout Scripture and see how it's used in other places to help you get a fuller understanding of the definition. So let's do that first. You just look up this word train or direct that's in our translation and say, okay, where is that word also used throughout Scripture? You're going to come across with a couple spots. One of them is going to be Deuteronomy 25, and the other one's going to be 1 Kings 8:63. And how is train or direct translated? It's the yellow one. Dedicate. Every other place in the Bible, it's dedicate. Same word. So Proverbs 22:6, when it says train up a child, if you want to get a little closer to the actual word being used, that they use it the same way in the rest of Scriptures, what would you say? Dedicate. Now dedicate your child into all this other stuff. So we need to understand this is an all-inclusive thing. You're dedicating yourself, you're dedicating your child, you're dedicating everything into this child, trying to help them do this thing called the way. But it's a full dedication. It takes everybody as a part of this. When we're talking about dedicating the temple, temple of the Lord, dedicating your house, this is a big deal. This is a moment that you decide and you move forward on. It's this dedication. So you need to understand that as we first look at this. Because through this, we saw that we're to train, we're to point our child, dedicate. Now let's look at the next part. Next part, just on to the right path. In all those translations we saw, do this in the right way, the way he should go, the right direction, how to live, and in the tenor of his way. This is a Hebrew phrase that means according to his way. So basically it says, dedicate a child according to the way he's wired and made. That's why you saw others say in the tenor of his way, or that one at the top, in keeping with his individual gift or bent. They try to somehow get that idea in there for us so we'd understand a little more closely. So we are to dedicate ourselves to the training of our child, dedicate our child into this training, but the training needs to be done according to the way that he's wired, the way that God has wired him, his personality traits, his skill sets, his gifts, his abilities. Some children are strong-willed children. It makes no difference, what that thing might be. Maybe they're creative. Maybe they're artistic. Maybe they're more intelligent, more compassionate. Maybe they're more outgoing. The list goes on and on and on. God creates all of our children different. And so we're to train them, dedicate them, focus them in this way that's related to how they're wired and how God designed them. And the final part of that verse says, when they're older, let's go to the verse, Brad, next slide there. When they're older, they will not leave it. We also saw will not stray, will not depart, won't change, won't be lost. In other words, they're going to remember this. There's something about this training that sticks with them when the training no longer is there. But that only happens when we dedicate ourselves and dedicate them to it. When we understand that God has wired them and called them, God has a plan for their life. I think it's one of the most important things we understand as parents is that child that's in your home is a child that God created for a purpose in this world, and God has a plan for that child. Our job as parents is only this: to take care of this child until they leave our home, and to do everything we can to dedicate ourselves and them to finding this plan that God has for them, this way that God has planned for them. Understanding who they are and how they're made and how they're wired, and we need to release them to them. Because the time will come when they will no longer be under our control. We never owned them in the first place. We are just stewards of that child. It already belongs to God. That's God's child. It's important for us to understand this. Now, I want to say a couple other things about this proverb. First of all, this is not going to be a popular statement, but this is a proverb and not a promise. A proverb is something that generally is true if the steps or the things listed in the proverb are followed. But it's not an ironclad guarantee. We know plenty of people that have done well in raising their children, that their children have made a poor choice. The reason why? It's nothing to do with the parent. It has to do with the free will of the child. You have a choice right now to choose whatever you want, regardless of any training you ever received. That's called free will. And as parents, we do the best we can, but there are times that maybe our children will choose something that has nothing to do with their training. It has nothing to do with what we have pointed them to. It has nothing to do with the way that we've encouraged them. But they will make that choice. And as parents, it's the most difficult spot to ever be in. And other people will look at you and say, oh, you must have failed in parenthood, because it says train in a way you should go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. And so apparently you didn't. But a parent who's been through that, who has tried hard along the way, knows that's not always the case. Children can still choose their path. There are exceptions to this rule. Also, I want you to know that this verse does not say what we have put into the text over the years as a Christian community. Because this is what we have said this text means. We say it means raise your child as a moral, God-fearing believer, and in the end, they'll turn out okay. It's just not what it says. We've put that emphasis on the text. So what does this text say? Well, let's add one more translation in the mix. We're going to call this the PDT. That's the Pastor Doug translation. All right. So the PDT, I think, would say something like this. Work hard to train your child in the way he is designed and in accordance to God's high calling in his life. And when he grows up, he will most likely remain in that training long after the lessons are done. That you can bank on. Taking your children to church is a huge part of the journey. But I want you to know that if your expectation is that the church is going to raise your children and give them everything that they need for salvation and understanding of God, you're going to hit a dead end there. Because that's not the role of the church. The role of the church is to come alongside the parents. Now, they'll get training here, and they'll get good training. They're going to learn about the Bible and Bible stories and those kinds of things. But if it ends here and doesn't continue at home, you're doing your children a disservice, and you're putting an undue responsibility on the church that God did not put there. Parents are to train. The church is here to come alongside and support you. You should be having some form of spiritual discussions with your children outside of this place. We try to make it as easy as possible, especially in our children's ministry, when they bring home that sheet or the crafts or the things that they do, so that you as parents over lunch can say, tell me what you learned, and then explore that with them a little bit. Make a note of something they said. Remind them of it the week after. I remember when my little guy said, I shouldn't fight with my sister. And I said, what do you think about that? He says, I don't think I should. I'm thinking, this is awesome. Let's see how long this lasts. Well, it didn't take long, and the next day or whatnot, they were fighting, but what did I get to do? I said, remember, Ryan, what you learned and what you said? And he said, you're right, Dad. Now, today, he won't remember that conversation at all, but still, it's those opportunities to remember those things, to learn those things, to bring them up at home and to be a part of things. I know life is busy, but don't make it so busy that you don't have time to discuss the most important parts of life with your children and some spiritual discussions as well. It's important that you teach your kids right from wrong. Follow through with discipline. And it has to be appropriate discipline that fits their personality, how they're wired. Each kid is different. There are children that you can look at and you can just show your disappointment in a calm way and they just come unglued. There are other children that you express your disappointment in them and they express their disappointment in you right back. Okay? Those children need more than just a talking to. Okay? That's why God made yardsticks, all right? Find the corrective tool that works, you know? But each kid's different. What cookie-cutter approach does not work in your household or in any household. You need to pay attention to the culture that's around your kids. Because the culture is trying to pull them away from you and pull them away from the thing that God has for them. Today, our kids are inundated with a level of culture like none before. And I know every generation has said that, but it is mind-boggling. And when we as parents relinquish control and allow the culture to raise our children, we are going to get something that is not following Proverbs 22:6. Because you don't dedicate your child to MTV or some other organization raising your child. And how many times as a parent do you hear everyone at school this? All my friends, this. Parents, I want you to rise to a higher standard, even though your kids won't like you for it. The hope is that there may be someday they'll look back and say, thanks, Mom and Dad. Or at least you're going to give them the tools so that maybe they can stand up to their kids. But when we have young girls who are 8, 9, 10, 11 years old with writing on the back of their shorts, their tight little shorts, Dad, is that what you want every man to be looking at while they're walking around? And what does that communicate to them? When we have cell phones that we give our children, those are fine. But when they're unlimited and unrestricted and they can text all night long and send videos and pictures back and forth, we have resigned our rights as parents to some other thing, and that is raising our kids. I know your kids will say, everybody's got one, and everybody has it, and everybody does it. And you have to say, well, golly, I'm so glad we're not everyone. Well, what next story can they come home with? Everybody brings beer to school. Well, where's our line, honestly? You have to do what's right for your children because it's right for them and has nothing to do with what the culture says. Our kids are inundated with this stuff. Facebook, Twitter. I am shocked when I talk to parents and they have no clue what their kids' passwords are. Their email and their Facebook and all that stuff. And then parents will say, well, it's private for them. Kids, if you're still living in the home, I want you to listen to me, okay? As long as you live under your parents' roof, you have no privacy. Okay, all of your passwords and things you have should also belong to them. So parents, today at lunch, you sit down with your kid, you get a little sheet of paper, and you write down the passwords, and then this afternoon, you go through and you see what's been going on some of these sites. Kids, if you're uncomfortable with mom and dad seeing what's going on those sites, that's why we have your password. Folks, take back the raising of your children. Take back what you need to do to train up your child in the way they should go so that when they get old, they won't lose these lessons. So vitally important. You need to set a good example at home. The kids are going to listen to more of what you do than what you ever say. Say you're sorry when you mess up. If you ever expect to hear that out of the mouth of your children, better hear it from you now and then. Never give up on your children, no matter how much they beg. Never. You don't have the right to give up. Sure, you can make them a ward of the state. You can put them in JDC. You can do all kinds of things, but God doesn't give you that right. He gave you that child. You can't give up on him. And the most important thing you can do is to pray for your child and do it daily. Let's see how Jay responds from his blow-up moment with Manny.
Hello. Hey, Javier. Manny's waiting for you outside.
What?
Why not? Hold that thought.
His son's sitting on a curb waiting to go to Disneyland, and Superman can't drag himself away from a craps table. And I'm the jerk.
Say, listen. Sorry, but I got some bad news.
What?
Your dad couldn't make it.
Why not?
The plane was full, and this old lady needed to get home, so he gave up his seat.
You're making that up, aren't you?
No.
He just didn't want to come.
Are you kidding me? He was very upset. He was dying to see you. In fact, look what he sent.
A limo?
Yeah. He wanted me and your mom to take you to Disneyland.
I told you he was an awesome dad.
Yeah, he's a prince.
Okay. The key to being a good dad... Look, sometimes things work out just the way you want.
Thank you, man.
That is not a good idea. For you.
Sometimes they don't. You gotta hang in there. Because when all is said and done... 90% of being a dad... just showing up.
A couple of truths for you as we leave today. First one is, as a parent or grandparent, you realize you can't take all the credit for the great things that your kids and grandkids have done. There's times my kids impress me to death, and I'd love to take the credit and say, yeah, I did that. But I realize God did something in them, and they have abilities that I wish I could have that I'll never have. But at the same time, as a parent, you have to remember you also can't take all the credit for their poor choices. Because sometimes they're going to just choose those things. And it's so important to pray for them, not give up on them, work hard with them. But it's not always your fault either. If you have persistently and lovingly tried to give the children in your life wisdom, and they haven't taken it, at least the way you think they should, don't be hard on yourself, because it seems like God had a hard time raising children too. So what made you think it'd be a piece of cake for you? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are our Father and you love us. And as strange as it may sound, we do see that you had a hard time raising yours. And we are also your children, and you're having a hard time raising us. We can see the example that you've set, that not only are you a father of love, of unconditional love, but you're also a father of sacrifice, that you're willing to give your life for your kids. And we benefit from that sacrifice, even though it's not one that we deserve. Help us to live that with our children. Help us not to give up on them. Help us to work hard. Help us to fight against this culture that's trying to take them from us and prepare them for the world when they leave this place, when they leave our homes and they leave our security, that they're prepared to make wise decisions on their own. Lord, I thank you for the grandparents that you put in our children's lives, for the wisdom they have. Help those grandparents live out that example, be that word of wisdom at the time when our children need it so badly. Thank you for friends that speak into the lives of our children as well. And we thank you for the family that you've surrounded us with and the church as well. Father God, we know that you love children and you've given us this responsibility. And may we do well in that responsibility and remember to be people of love and grace as you have been to us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you as you go from this place. Next week, get ready for the spinning wheel. We should have a lot of fun. And remember to love the kids in your life this week. All right? Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.